Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Transiton Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nate Geary, excited to be here this evening after a big Bills win. Let's fire up the phone lines at 803-0550. I've got a lot to get to over the next couple of minutes. We're going to have a live player reaction. We'll hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott, I think, too, as well, if you missed that. We are only here an hour, though, tonight because we have Buffalo Sabres hockey. I know, sorry to, you know, put a rain on everyone's parade after a game like today. But, man, what an unbelievable game start to finish, especially because it just felt like anything and everything was going wrong for this Bills team in the first half. I mean, it is sort of the conundrum of this team, right? I mean, that you can look so bad and then so unstoppable in two 30-minute segments. A caller called into postgame when I was listening to Mike and Chris, and the point they made, the caller is like, this is the most confusing team that I can remember. And I would agree, they are insanely confusing. Sometimes drive to drive. In this game, they just looked like they sleptwalked into this game. And in fairness, the Patriots look like a team coming off a bye that had 2 weeks to prepare for the Bills offensively. And then on defense, the Bills just had no answers defensively. But there's a couple of guys in this game that I think really stand out to me, especially in the second half. Joey Bosa making the play of the game at the end, knocking down the ball on fourth down to force the turnover on downs. On the offensive side of the ball, another fantastic game from Dawson Knox, who, you know, I think is kind of slowly raising the level of his game. And I think the tight end room at large is what has kept this Bills passing offense afloat. But man, you know, we don't have to get too into the weeds about this group of receivers. But right now, this group of receivers is in a bad place. They're in the bad place. And, you know, they've got to work on trying to figure out what it is they can do to find some consistent separation. I mean, the first play of the game offensively for the Bills is just an absolute dot from Josh Allen into the hands of Brandon Cooks. I mean, just, you know, like the easiest catch for an NFL wide receiver. He bobbles it, doesn't get 2 feet in, and the Bills go three and out and punt the ball away. And it just, like, it was such a deflating first play of the game. And I think just spoke to the greater issues that this offense currently has at wide receiver. And I look and I say, all right, well, who's going to step up? And, you know, Josh Palmer has been a disappointment this year. Obviously, has not been able to stay healthy, but when he's been in, has not really brought a lot to the table. Brandon Cooks, since coming here, has now 4 targets, 1 reception on the season. He got x-rays after the game, so they might be without him. Keon Coleman, I can't think of a worse case to make for Keon Coleman over Gabriel Davis. If today wasn't any proof of that, I don't, and they're going to get Mecole Hardman back. I think he's going right into the lineup. But I think, you know, if Brandon Cooks is injured for any length of time, it almost gives them a free pass to put maybe Cooks on IR, open up an additional roster spot so they can activate Mecole Hardman and then, you know, kind of play around with what you've got going into the playoffs. But like, I think each and every week they've got to try to shuffle this thing around. But to me, Keon Coleman should not be a game day active player. He is just not bringing anything to the table. He did have a nice block today against Christian Gonzalez. I'll give him that on a run play. But I just, at this point, I can't trust him. You know, he's not really he's definitely not creating separation. And when he's getting opportunities, although limited, he's not taking advantage of them. This was a huge opportunity for Keon Coleman with Gabe Davis coming out of the lineup to show that he can hold it down at the X receiver. And, you know, another opportunity squandered for the young Keon Coleman. So, the receiver room, still a mess. It might be the thing that holds them back. And then the defensive side of the ball, obviously, they just get run over today. I think, you know, listen, it's been a really good story, Shaq Thompson this year. So this was the worst game of Shaq Thompson's played in a Bills uniform. Luckily, his linebacker partner looked like vintage Matt Milano today. I mean, 10 tackles, 2 sacks. I mean, was an absolute monster in this game. The only thing defensively that really stood out to me was how well Matt Milano played. And I think once you get Terrell Bernard, hopefully next week, back in the lineup, I think you start to do what you've been doing with, like, you know, Maxwell Hairston and Trey White, who, by the way, Trey White playing very good football for this Buffalo Bills team right now. But, like, I think you probably want to do what you're doing at cornerback two right now, is have Terrell Bernard out there on obvious passing situations and keep Shaq Thompson out there on obvious rundowns, first and second down, and try to get the most out of your lineup that way. But this team right now, in the second half defensively, it's just been very impressive. It's a conundrum how poor they've played in the first half compared to the second half a ton of times this season. You know, I'm thinking back to Atlanta. I'm thinking to that Houston game where Davis Mills just throws the football all around the yard on you in the first half, and you give up 3 points in the second half. In the last 2 weeks, you know, I mean, big plays in the second half and holding this, you know, Patriots team to 7 points and essentially one big play where you have it completely bottled up. But A.J. Epinesa and Maxwell Hairston, I can you know, cut a break to Maxwell Hairston because he's a young player. But, man, I mean, A.J. Epinesa committed the ultimate no-no. The worst thing you could do as the contain player on the back end of a play is over pursue and give up. And this was all day. I thought Daquan Jones today really struggled when he was getting upfield early in this game, just creating wide open rush lanes for Drake May in that first half. And I thought they did a much better job in the second half, slowing down either the scramble plays by Drake May, but some of the design run plays from Drake May as well. Listen, it's a tale of two halves. And I think a little bit that the Patriots thought that they'd won the game in the first half, and it looked like that's how they played the second half to start the game, that they kind of just thought they had it. And, you know, you got Stephon Diggs and Mac Collins on the sidelines chirping Bills players on the field. And, you know, I am a big fan of Stephon Diggs, and I was a big fan of Mac Collins that when they were both here, but, you know, they're on a new team now, and I don't blame them for feeling like they've got to talk their trash. But I think they woke a sleeping giant in the second half, and the Bills really took advantage of, I think, a lot of questions that we had about the Patriots. They certainly weren't there in the first half, but man, the second half, you saw a team that I think a lot of people have been wondering when they would show up. A little adversity. The Bills started to get momentum. They never gave it back, but the Patriots have to find ways to stem the momentum in that second half. They just never do. So yeah, I thought all in all, great game from the Bills in the second half. Really tough game to start the first half. They've got to find ways to be more consistent, and when they start these games, especially defensively, find ways to create some plays and put themselves in more advantageous positions in the first half. All right, let's get connected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Trevor from Lancaster kicks off the show here on the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. Trevor, good evening.
How's it going?
Good, brother. What do you got?
What I got to say is, like you said about Keon Coleman, 0 catches, 0 yards. I mean, is this the last straw for him? I mean, Gabe Davis needs to be playing over him. Keon Coleman, definition of a park bench bum. And he should be eating cookies on a bench somewhere. This guy he's got no separation. They need to be playing other receivers, like you said, when Hardman comes back or even when Samuel comes back. I mean, Coleman just he's just not it. I mean, I just want to ask, is this the last straw for him? There's no way he contributes to this team.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Trevor. I don't know that it's the last straw. I just think the room is so weak as a whole that they probably feel. And I also don't know what the, you know, I don't know what the practice week looks like. I don't know what the preparation looks like. They felt that they were in a better position with him in the starting lineup over Gabe Davis. I think it was a mistake. But all in all, I say it feels like it should have been the last straw when he missed the meeting, to be honest. And so he's back in the lineup, and I think for me, if it was my decision, Keon Coleman isn't in a uniform for the rest of the season. But you know, I'm not the coach and I don't make those decisions. So we'll see what happens here in the next couple of weeks or even really next week when they play a really bad Cleveland Browns team. And we'll see. But I'm not convinced that he's just done as much as I might want him to be. What I need is the Bills have kind of been this way all year is they run through a lot of personnel groups, especially at wide receiver. Like the highest snap count you're going to see is like 70, 75% of the snaps played by this group of receivers. Tyrell Shavers, I'll be interested to see what the snap count numbers are after this game. I'm sure he probably led them again, especially in a lot of those I formation duo looks. He's their best, run blocking wide receiver. But man, I got to tell you, that's a guy to me that deserves more opportunities in the pass game than he's just not been given them. I don't think Keon Coleman deserves opportunities in the pass game. I don't think Keon Coleman deserves a game day jersey. But right now he's got one. Tyrell Shavers has got one. And right now he is not being prioritized, I think, enough in this passing offense. But right now, in 13 personnel and 12 personnel and 22 personnel, this Bills passing offense under center play action, Joe Brady has found something. He unlocked it a little bit last week. You're seeing the center, the guards pulling, creating, moving the pocket. Some of the things that I think a lot of us have been complaining about, being too predictable, leaving Josh Allen in the pocket. I love them moving the pocket, getting out to Josh Allen's right and letting him create more half-field reads. I think has been a big thing, a big part of the success of this offense. So I think they're leaning into the two and three tight end sets more as they should. And obviously the run game was I think, good enough today. The running backs in the pass game, I thought, played a huge part again. But I think if you're asking me right now, does this Bills team have enough at pass catcher to win a Super Bowl? I might tell you no, but I might tell you it may not matter because of how good Josh Allen is on a week in and week out basis. He is the best player in the league. And to me, Josh Allen should be right now. It looks like the Rams are down 24-17 right now. They are going to punt the ball away. It looks like Matt Stafford's got an interception this game. Listen, I know Matt Stafford's had an unbelievable season. He's like 43. But I look at that team and he's got the second or third, maybe the best receiver in football in Puka Nacua. They've got Devontae Adams who leads the league in receiving touchdowns. They have maybe the best play calling offensive coordinator of all time in Sean McVay. So all due respect to a future Hall of Famer in Matt Stafford, I just think with what Josh Allen is doing with the players and the pieces around him each week and beating, basically all of the best quarterbacks in the league on his way to getting his team and willing his team to have another potential division title. I'll tell you, if the Bills find a way to win the AFC East, I don't know how you keep the MVP away from Josh Allen. It's just every week you see him doing things with, I made this joke, but half the guys that are catching passes from the Bills right now should probably have a paper route. They are not good. They have the worst receiving group in the league, and it's probably a far and away thing. Just what he's doing, it's unbelievable. I hope that we all appreciate, and I'm not suggesting any Bills fan isn't appreciative of how good Josh Allen has been this year and just what he is doing. But man, I I'm going to look back in 10 or 15 years from now and say, I got an opportunity every week to watch the best player to ever put on a Bills uniform play each and every week. He's the best player in the league. He's the best quarterback in the league. And he's playing at an unbelievable level right now as both a passer and a runner and just lifting his team up to victory every single week. It's just been so impressive. Let's go to Adam in Laredo, who's been waiting on hold. Adam, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening.
Brother Nate, my fellow member of the Bills Black Cloud Society.
Listen, I'm doing my work and making sure that I get all the reverse jinx out there, you know?
Exactly right. You know what?
We all, it's my 111th, Adam, right?
Exactly. At 21-0, I was actually thinking I'm going to need medical assistance, but 24-7.
Somebody get this guy a ventilator.
I said, okay, after the half, let's get a touchdown. 24-14. This is okay. Let's get a stop. 24-21. It's like, all right, let's get another stop. I told you last week, brother, we're walking between the raindrops and not getting wet. Screw it. Let's keep walking. We ain't getting wet. Wherever we wind up, as long as we're in the tournament for the piece of Tiffany, I'm good with it. And I think a lot of us have kind of settled into that. Yes, it would be nice to be the division champ, the one seed, but I think there's a lot of us who are saying, you know what? The five ain't a bad path to a parade either.
No, I agree, Adam. Thanks for the call, buddy. Listen, I have not. I mean, today was a big confidence boost in them potentially getting back into this division race. I think if the Bills win the division, they win out with four losses. I know that right now the Broncos only have two losses. They have a gauntlet of a schedule. The Patriots now, if they can overcome, I have not closed the door. I have not closed the book quite yet on still winning the one seed and hosting having home field advantage throughout the playoffs. They need that bye week in such a way to get healthy, to get their guys back. I have not closed the door on it. The way that the New York Jets looked today against the Jacksonville Jaguars, making Trevor Lawrence look like Tom Brady, I think there's a real chance the Bills could run the table. And listen, I've all of a sudden become a Miami Dolphins fan, because if the Dolphins can find a way to beat the Patriots in 2 weeks, the Bills are going to be in the catbird seat. And man, what an unbelievable come from behind victory it would be for the Bills to find a way to eke out this division. It'd be special. Let's go to Nick in Lackawanna. Thanks for the call, Adam. Nick, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening.
Yeah. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep, I got you. What you got?
Okay, a couple things. Well, I wish that everyone would stop with this praise for Joe Brady. If you look at the first halves that we've been playing all year long, and the second point, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but this knock on Keon Coleman, they threw the ball to him one time.
Yeah, and he's not getting open.
A defensive pass interference call, okay? And he threw a block in that game. That started our overtime, that started the third quarter comeback.
Mm-hmm.
He threw a block that sprung Josh Allen, and we got a first and goal from the six, and the rest is history. They threw to the guy one time. I'm sick of all this criticism of Keon Coleman. If you go back to game one, in the last 15 minutes of that game against the Ravens, he had 8 receptions.
That was 2 months ago, Nick.
It was 2 months ago, but
he hasn't done anything since.
We came from behind 15 points in that game.
They came from behind today, and he had no part of the game.
112 yards. Listen, you want me to call the station? You want to listen to me, or am I going to?
Well, listen, Nick. Listen, it's my show. First of all, Nick, it's my show. So I'm going to respond to you as you're talking, because that's how the radio works. And if you're going to call in, we're going to have a conversation. You don't get to really dictate the terms of that, Nick. But like, you're going to bat for a player that had one target today. Apparently, that's great. And he had one block that came up he is their most important player at a position. You're telling me about what he did in the second half of a game that happened in September. I mean, my hair is significantly longer now than it was in September, the last time he played a relevant role in this offense. He should not be in the lineup over Gabriel Davis. I do not understand the move today. He is not an impact player. He is not creating any level of separation. And on that pass interference play, he's got to make that catch. He got bailed out on a very ticky-tack pass interference call. Like, he just, every time they throw him the football, I feel nervous because he can't catch. And the one thing that you need to be, if you're a possession receiver, that usually means you have to get possession. And he can't. I do not understand at all going to bat for Keon Coleman right now. You are literally, Nick, the only man in Western New York that is willing to call into a radio show, which apparently you don't know how it works when you call into a radio show, but you're calling into a radio show to do something that I don't know one other Bills fan would be willing to do. The most optimistic Keon Coleman's fans, I don't think, would call in right now and be defending Keon Coleman after a game like today. I mean, he's just irrelevant in this lineup. Absolutely irrelevant. So, and people calling in and praising Joe Brady, who's praising Joe Brady? I mean, I would tell you, I think the criticism for Joe Brady is warranted, But they just scored 30. They scored five straight touchdowns in this game. Do they need to start the game quicker? Absolutely they do. But, like, does Joe Brady... Did Joe Brady drop the first throw of the game? No, it's Brandon Cooks. They have the worst wide receiver group in the league. So, you know, considering 35 points, I don't know, is the game that I want to call into the postgame show and tell the guy talking on the radio that he should stop, you know, giving kudos to the offensive coordinator. I don't, it's a weird day to do that. It's also a weird day to, in the second sentence, defend a player that probably shouldn't be defended. So, I don't know. It was a weird call, Nick. Sorry. I don't know. Let's go to Rick in Denver. Rick, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Rick.
Nate, you need to laugh, man. You need to put the Indianapolis game on. I swear to God, I think what they did is they took a maternity blouse and put a 17 on it. It is freaking hilarious to watch Rivers right now.
He does all look right, he looks a little bloated. But, you know, who am I to say, Rick, when I would probably look the exact same wearing a 17 jersey right now. So, you know, I'm not going to throw stones, all right?
Well, yeah, he scrambled once for about 3 yards in the pocket, and it looked like he blew four tires.
I did but see anyway. The slip. Yeah, that was that's going to be on SportsCenter. Yeah.
Look, the one thing that I've noticed about the defense in the first half versus the second half, and it's been like I think the last three games, is that they continue to run four-man fronts with no blitzes.
Yep.
And when they don't get to the quarterback, then all of a sudden they start dialing up all these exotic blitzes. And it's like, you guys, why can't we do that in the first half? It's almost like they were paranoid to, you know, to have as many guys in the secondary as possible with Benford out. But, man, as soon as they unleash Milano – and some of the blitzing schemes that they have. I mean, I'm begging McDermott, please start blitzing on the first play of the game and stop waiting till the second half.
Yeah,
so
Rick,
that's all I got for you, buddy.
Cool. No, thanks, Rick. I appreciate you, buddy. Have a good night. Love the point you brought up here because I talked about this on pregame. What it seems like to me, listen, I'm not in the room. I don't exactly know what's going on. But what it seems like to me, and this isn't a crazy concept, is you'd like to start the game. Like, let's see what the pass rush has got. Let's see every defensive coordinator in football at the NFL level, the pro level, the high school level, the middle school level, and the peewee football level. Everybody wants to be able to rush four and drop seven. That's what everybody wants to do, right? Because if you can get to the quarterback rushing four and you can marry your pass rush in your coverage together, well, then you've got something there. You're cooking. The problem is, it's not working, and it hasn't worked in several weeks. I want to say it probably hasn't worked since Michael Hoyt's gone out of the lineup. But you're right about how much more effective they are blitzing. I just think this is not a philosophically – this their core philosophy as a defense is not a in-your-face exotic blitz look. Ryan Nielsen, who I do think has brought some exotic looks over from Atlanta and from Jacksonville as their defensive coordinator, I think you're starting to see his impact a little bit more when they go to more of these exotic blitz packages and simulated pressures and some of the stuff they're doing. I think that they can be – I think, honestly, the strength of this group at linebacker might be a blitzing. Like, Terrell Bernard is probably one of the best blitzing linebackers in the league. That's what he was really good at in college at Baylor. I mean, today, Matt Milano's got two sacks, both on blitzes. And so I think that they need to find ways, especially early in games, to get those pressure packages going early on third down. And I just think they did it last week. And listen, I think we all can agree the game plan probably will never be to try to blitz Joe Burrow. He just tends to kill you on blitzes. But man, it changed the dynamic of the game. And I thought Drake May was so calm in the pocket. There was no pass rush on the first half. And they finally started pressuring him with five and six man pressures. And it rattled him. And there was a domino effect the rest of the game. It got him out of his rhythm. And I think the problem with the Bills defensively early in the season is they have just allowed teams to get into this offensive rhythm because they want to play this conservative soft coverage and they want to rush four and drop seven and blah blah blah. But the run defense today, I mean, I think the Bills are 4-2 and they give up 185 yards on the ground, and every other team is like 4-26. I don't know how sustainable it is. They've got to figure out how to be more successful on first down, stopping opposing teams' rushing attacks, because it's not been good. All right, let's get a Brew Around the League. It's brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and their new Mafia Light, the official beer of Buffalo football tailgates. And the 4 o'clock window is starting to wrap up right now. Let me get you some live scores. Third quarter, the Packers have a 23-14 lead right now over the Broncos. That's a game I think Bills fans should really be looking at. Again, if the Broncos lose, they go to 11-3. Already we know that the Patriots are 11-3. The Bills are one game. The bad, untalented Buffalo Bills, just one game behind both the Broncos and the Patriots in the record column. The Lions right now have a 24-20 lead over the Rams. That one's 6 minutes left in the third quarter. The Panthers have a 7-point lead, 17-10 over New Orleans. That one fourth quarter just getting underway. About 7 minutes, 7.5 minutes left in the third quarter in San Francisco. They've got a 24-10 lead over the 2-11 Tennessee Titans. And then the Seahawks. I don't know what's going on with the Seahawks. I don't know what's going on with Sam Darnold, but the Colts, Philip Rivers right now in the Colts, up 13-9 over the Seahawks midway through the third quarter there in Seattle. Okay, we're going to take a timeout. Before we take that timeout, a reminder that tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Dolphins at the Steelers. Monday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case and buy Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. Timeout. Other side, we'll continue taking your phone calls. We got a loaded phone lines right now, but give us a call at 803-0550. You're listening to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
May in the shotgun here, takes the snap, back to pass, pressure coming, he's wrapped up, and he's dropped for a sack, Matt Milano with his second takedown of the game.
Chris Brown on the call, Brownie, great call as always. Welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm your host, Nate Geary. A reminder that tomorrow on WGR, it's Buffalo Bills Victory Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe break the game down for you in the morning, then the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio at 10, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon, Chopin Bulldog in the afternoon show at 3. They'll have Eric Wood join him at 4. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. We should also get to a quick eye on the quarterback, and it's eye on the quarterback is brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business is protecting your business. And the I think back-to-back MVP winner had a pretty remarkable game, especially in the second half, in a sort of being the catalyst of this comeback victory. 19 of 28, 193 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, a 77.8 QBR. And a 123.1 passer rating. He also added 11 carries for 48 yards on the ground today for your MVP, Josh Allen. Let's get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, your official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to Marcus in South Carolina. Has been waiting patiently. Marcus, thanks for your patience. Good evening to you. You're on the Overtime Show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I mean, let me tell you what a fun game, huh? I mean,
yeah, I agree. Fun.
Who couldn't have asked for anything more?
Yeah.
I can tell you what, that I loved the game. But I mean, it's sort of like a tale of two halves. You know, I was at work when, you know, I left work. It was 21-0, and then I get home and it's 24-21. And we're like in the game. And I was like, all right, this is, you know, things are going well here. One of my questions is everyone's getting down on the wide receivers, you know? And so my question is wide receivers coach, you know, I mean, I'm sure that, the beginning of the season, you know, you would see, you know, Josh Allen roll to his left, roll to his right. You know, there were seasons that you saw him roll to his left, roll to his right, and boom, he found somebody. And I kind of feel like it's sort of like, you know, players knew they needed to kind of come back to him, you know? So like, I guess my question is like, you know, if you see, you know, the new guys come, and I'm not like, you know, go out on a limb for him. But you know, I mean, you know, the veterans that they've now, they got Brandon Cooks and they have a few others out there, you know, they know to do this, you know, Gabe Davis, in the Bengals game, you know, I mean, there was a couple of times where, oh man, it's third and whatever. And, you know, he knew to come back and boom, he hit him. You know, so, you know, I just kind of feel like, you know, maybe there's some coaching issues that are going on there. But I tell you what, I mean, it's a fun season again. And I tell you what, I love the fact that, that we have a rival in our division.
No doubt about that.
You know? Oh, that's amazing. And the fact that, I tell you what, all the guys on TV could talk about today were oh my God, you know what, if New England wins, then they win this, you know, they get the division today. So it was nice. Listen, I'm going to say that New England will probably get the division, but at least it wasn't against the Bills.
Correct.
You know, and so, you know, I don't think that the Patriots are going to be a team that has it to make it all the way. I mean, I think this is a learning experience for them. I mean, a team that goes at the half 21-0, all right, and then loses it at the end of the game. You know, they obviously have to watch the tape, right? So yeah. I mean, I tell you what. I mean, I think it was a great game for us, and we'll see. You know, where it goes. And also, I'd like to say, you know, congratulations, Josh Allen. He's going to have a baby, so good for him.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Marcus. Appreciate you, buddy. I don't know. Listen, is there a coaching, issue at the wide receiver position? I don't know. I'm hesitant because I don't know enough about what they're doing, how they're preparing. They are talent deficient at receiver. It's plain and simple. I don't know. Can you name the best wide receivers coach of all time? I don't know that he'd get a lot more out of this group. They are talent deficient at wide receiver. Let's go to Nick in Buffalo. Nick, you're on the overtime show. Good evening, Nick.
I do, guys.
Good.
Listen, it's really getting to be a shame. They're going to have to change their scheme or something. First of all, the number two draft picks, TJ Sanders, it's not working, man. He's getting turned around like a turnstile. I mean, even Dawkins is starting to show that, you know, the year is longer than in college, and he's starting to wear down a little. They're going to have to do something at tackle. I don't know. I don't know if you got to put in the biggest, heaviest guys you can to help stop the run. Start blitzing from either side once in a while. Rousseau is just a no-show lately. One week Epinesa shows up, and then the next week you don't even know if he played or not. They have to do something. Like, Atlanta blitzes every single play, and you know what? It's bend or break, and usually they hold up. I think the Bills have, since the Atlanta game, been blitzing a little bit more each and every week, and it's starting to pay off a little bit, but they get a little scared in the beginning of the game, and I don't know why. They go to that basic defense that McDermott loves, and it just doesn't work, and then they're forced to make an adjustment. And you know what? As the game goes on, you know what? That guy ran 90 yards for a touchdown, whatever he did. He was boxed in, okay? They over-pursued. They all went to the left. You know what I'm saying? Nobody secured the edge, and he ran away from us. And, you know, everybody said, like, Harrison's got 4.2 speed. How come he didn't catch him? Well, I got news for you. That kid from Ohio State has 4.3 speed.
Yeah, he moves.
You're not going to catch him.
Yeah,
okay?
He
so
moves.
That's not on Harrison. The wide receiver thing, I think it's too late in the year to try all these new things. You're going to have to keep Gabe Davis in there. He's got a familiarity with Josh. You know what I'm saying? Josh knows where he is. I don't know. You know, Josh, Gabe Davis was hurt for a while, okay? And he's just starting to play again. He's starting to come back, starting to maybe feel it a little. I think maybe he's about where he should be. The Josh Palmer thing is just not working. Yeah. They're not on the same page. You know what? I think Josh Palmer's good, but something's wrong there. I don't know if he can't lead him or, you know, he's constantly open, but Josh just can't get him the ball.
Well, listen, I think you made a couple of good points, Nick, and I appreciate the call, buddy. Thank you. A couple of things. I want to go out and I want to say something like along the lines of, it's hard when you're in and out of the lineup, right, with Josh Palmer. He does, I think, at times create separation. You also have to understand, you know, like where Josh Palmer is in the order of operations of, like, you know, when Josh is stepping back, you know, dropping back to throw, where he is in his progression. We don't know those things, right? But what I will say is, Keon Coleman in the summer, I thought, was on his way to building the most important thing that you can have with a quarterback, which is trust, right? I mean, it was week in and week out. You were seeing touchdown catches, big plays, one-handed catches, beating guys one-on-one in training camp. And then the season starts and he has a great game week one. And all the trust that they had spent all summer and early into the season building really all collapsed. And now what you're seeing is the reason he gets a one target in this game, other than the fact that he just doesn't separate, is that he no longer has that trust in his quarterback. And I think right now, the guys that have earned the trust of Josh Allen are your tight ends, are your running backs. And I played college quarterback for a couple of years and I played in high school. I'm not like some insane expert at playing quarterback. But what I will tell you is, anyone that's ever played, when you have someone you trust, and Matthew Stafford to Cooper Kupp, right? Like, that was like an unbelievable connection, right? And I think about, like, the guys that I trusted, sometimes you throw a football knowing he's not open, but I know he's going to go make a play for me because we have that trust and we understand the body language and all that stuff. Like, he doesn't have that with anybody in the wide receiver room right now. And until they can find someone, the thing is, I'm not sure. I think, to your point too, it's a little late in the game, but the Bills are trying everything and anything on offense to try to get somebody in that wide receiver room to step up. I'm going to be super interested to see what Mecole Hardman's return back to this lineup could potentially do for the rest of the room, because I think there is a domino effect when you have a true game-changing speed that can beat people down the field. And if they have that, I would be super interested to know, like, what that does for Gabe Davis, what that does for Josh Palmer. So I am looking forward. I know Mecole Hardman at this point of his career, he wasn't ever a number one receiver. But if he can play on the boundary and beat people in a foot race, I think that changes things for this offense and the dynamic. So I am looking forward to him getting potentially back in the lineup next week. So we'll see if that happens. More on the other side, 803-0550. We are actually, and a reminder, we're only an hour tonight. We have Buffalo Sabres pregame coming up next at 7 o'clock with Brian Koziel. But we've got another segment here to take some more phone calls at 803-0550. That is your number to call. It's the Transiton Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nate Geary. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Handoff goes to Cook, looking for the end zone, driving, his leg stretches, and he's in!
All right, welcome back. Our final segment here on the Transiton Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show. I'm your host, Nate Geary. Time to get reconnected with our fans. It's powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. And Anthony in North Carolina kicks us off. Anthony, good evening.
Hey, Nate. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
What I wanted to say was Keon Coleman, they need to bench him and continue using Gabe Davis. Today, that was kind of silly and ridiculous that they didn't use Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis is a veteran wide receiver, and he's better than Keon Coleman. You know, that's ridiculous that they didn't use him today. Next week, I think they should bench Keon Coleman. And today, Keon Coleman caught the ball and dropped it. He should have held on to it, and that's inexcusable. You know, if he wants to stay in the lineup, he needs to actually catch the ball and hold on to it. But, yeah, I just think that Gabe Davis should be out there next week. And then the other thing that I want to bring up is the defense, man, they continue to get obliterated. And they need to fix the defense before we get in the playoffs. And if they don't fix it, we're going to end up losing in the playoffs like we do every year due to the defense. And then the other thing I want to mention is also offense needs to also find a better rhythm too. You know, that also may be a downfall too this year if they don't fix that too before we go into the playoffs. But I'd say the other two were the two major concerns that I think may be our downfall if we don't fix it.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Anthony. Appreciate you, buddy. I would tell you that it did take them a little too long today to find their rhythm, especially on offense. Defensively, the last couple of weeks, I mean, when they go to that attacking pressure style defense, they're finding way more success than being the kind of sit back, play soft zone and rush four. They just don't have the dogs right now to get home with four. And maybe that changes when Ed Oliver's back in the lineup. Somebody else mentioned TJ Sanders a couple of minutes ago too, maybe last segment. And I didn't get a chance. I think right now it's tough for Sanders because he's playing out of position. He's being asked to play defensive end at times because that's just the numbers at edge right now. And I think his position, best position moving forward, is going to be, you know, behind Ed Oliver as their three technique coming off the bench. And right now he's kind of playing all over the place. So, I'm not closing the door on him quite yet, but I think he's been doing a lot for the team and playing out of position. And that's just tough. It's tough. Let's go to Patrick and Sovereign. Patrick, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Patrick.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Pretty much just wanted to say that I thought that when we got the two interceptions against the Steelers that, you know, I felt like that could be the turning point to this season for the Bills. And in the 80s, the Giants had a moment like that when Mark Bavaro was like running down the field with like four guys on his back and everybody pointed to that, you know. And I'm just hoping, you know, I mean, we got it going on now. We can win these last three games. Hopefully the sky's the limit, you know.
Absolutely, man. I agree. This is the kind of game that you can definitely galvanize a season. I mean, there's like no doubt about that. Let's go to Casey in Jamestown. Casey, good evening. You're on the Overtime Show.
Hi, Nate. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I'll be quick.
Sure.
So just a quick question. What end of the first half, McDermott's decision to not take a timeout and let the clock run down, ultimately it didn't matter, but I'm worried that it will matter eventually and he won't take that timeout and just let the clock run.
Yeah, you know, timeout usage, Casey, thanks for the call, is, you know, I feel like kind of a topic of conversation each and every week. Sean really likes to use timeouts on defense, and I know a lot of people don't love that. Today, at the end of the first half, I think the Bills knew they were getting the ball to start the second half. And going to the half with timeouts in your back pocket, it's not the best thing. But I also, I look back, and I think he was trying to get to the locker room and recalibrate for that second half. Tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Dolphins at the Steelers Monday Night Football on WGR, is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case, and by Armor Heat, do it right the first time. That's going to do it for us. We've got Sabres pregame coming up next. Sabres and Kraken coming up here this evening. So don't go anywhere. Thanks to my producer, Tanner Saunders. We appreciate you listening to the Transit Town Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram Overtime Show here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.